Hello, everyone. I am Dust Storm from Podtacular, and I'm joined by two folks from Red the Up Live today, Drax and SMG. Hello, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, guys? All right.
Lots of stuff. We got some Halo 5 multiplayer beta stuff to talk about. We actually got a glimpse at the multiplayer beta, which is going to be coming out on December 29th after the release of the Master Chief Collection, which undoubtedly you guys have just got, and now you're probably headlong into that, but we're here to talk about the future of Halo past the Master Chief Collection, which is pretty exciting. There's some pretty cool stuff that we got to see and play, and I think we're all pretty excited to see what we got, and we're excited to talk about it. It's been hard to keep under wraps just from the short time that we've actually had to see it and be quiet about it. But first impressions, guys, what do you think of just overall the direction that Halo 5 Guardians is taking for multiplayer?
I like it. I think it's a nice natural blend of the new and the old. I think it's satisfying to any old competitive players. I think it can be, at least, if they approach it the right way. And I think it also has the things like armor actions, I will term them, not armor abilities, that might satisfy the newer age Halo players from the Halo 4, Halo Reach era.
Right, and that includes some things like you said, the armor actions, which I believe they're called Spartan abilities in Halo 5 Guardians, if
yes,
I remember that right.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. Not to be confused with armor abilities like we had in Halo 4 and Halo Reach. And of course, we'll get into that a little bit. Me personally, I was really impressed with the fluidity of it. Just the 60 frames per second and how beautiful the game is. I mean, 343 has done a really good job at making Halo look really nice. I will give them that. And the effort that they put into the multiplayer for Guardians is just, it's really astounding. We got to see not too much in terms of variety of game types. It was mostly, we had two different Slayer maps, and we had a new map and mode, which we'll get into in a little bit. That's kind of building off the arena shooter that we kind of got teased earlier with the little trailer that we got. What about you, Drax? What was your kind of impression from the whole event and the multiplayer?
I'm going to say, coming from my background, where I started playing Halo, I played a lot of Halo 2, heavy Halo 3. So I did a lot of competitive stuff. I went to a bunch of tournaments and stuff like that. So I get the whole competitive thing of like the guys nowadays that don't want any of this new stuff. Like, I get that side of it. But the casual part of me, if we're going to use that term in quotations, is really excited about all this new stuff. And I completely understand why 343 is going in the direction that they're going with it, because they kind of need to stay current, I guess, with what esports are doing right now. And I don't want to make this comparison, and don't hate me for saying this.
It's inevitable, dude. It's inevitable.
Oh,
I know it's hard to say, but it's inevitable.
It's Call of Duty and Halo hybrid is what it is. And I know I'm going to get a bunch of crap for that, but when you play it, you're going to understand why I said that, but you're also going to, after you play it for a little bit, like, we played it maybe for 45 minutes. At first I was very, very like skeptical about how this was going to work. But having played games like Call of Duty and Battlefield and also played Halo, it kind of felt right, to be honest. I don't really know where else I'm going to go with that, but I guess you guys will just have to play.
I wouldn't say it's not like a stitched together Frankenstein, like the Titanfall, COD, Halo.
No, yeah.
Will say that it's more of just kind of like a blend, and it fits so well. Like, you play it and you don't think this is COD Halo, you know, like a hybrid. You think it feels and it plays distinctly Halo, but you can kind of see where there might be some sort of features like Smart Scope, which are reminiscent of features in COD.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, they made sure to say that in every single new thing that they've added, that they've added something else on top of that that kind of makes that thing balanced. They're all about balance with this new game.
Right. And one of the things that they kind of go through, and when they talked about during the presentation with the Smart Scope and with the Thruster Pack, and people are going to hate us for saying this, but Infinite Sprint.
Yeah.
there is a lot a lot of considerations that they've taken into making sure that everything has a counterweight. Everything, every action that you do has a consequence tied to it. And they really did a good job with it from talking with Quinn about some of the thoughts that were going through their heads whenever they were coming up with these systems. Is one of those things where they are very mindful of the things that they're implementing, and they are mindful of where a lot of the community feedback lies. But this is some of the stuff that they feel is going to push Halo in the direction that they want it to go. It's going to keep it fresh. It's going to keep it engaged with the first-person community and really try to foster a new arena shooter kind of area that hasn't been explicitly seeked out by any other first-person shooter. One of the things that Quinn mentioned was there isn't really another first-person shooter developer that's explicitly and specifically looking at arena shooter that is fully competitive. I mean, you have Call of Duty, you have Battlefield, you have Titanfall, which none of those have a specifically dedicated mode looking at the competitive side. And what Quinn said that he and his team is really looking forward to is trying to nail that competitive experience that people will be able to really focus on grinding to get to that top level, to making sure that you're at the top, that you stay at the top. And for the rest of the people that are really interested into Halo, you don't necessarily have to enter into that arena experience. This is something that's completely separated out from the rest of the Halo multiplayer that's going to be coming with Halo 5 Guardians. So there's kind of this give and take with arena. They're really trying to focus on making sure it's all balanced, making sure it's all fresh, but there's still that other side of Halo for the non-competitive side, the more casual side, where if you kind of want that more casual experience with Halo, then you're going to get that experience as well. But most of what the beta is going to be focusing on is this arena style shooter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was made clear when we were talking with Quinn and the others that this beta is not just, oh, this is what it's going to be. This is not the final product. This is very much an in-development game. They're going to throw a bunch of stuff at us, and then they're going to see what needs to be tweaked to make it as balanced, as fair, and as fun as possible, but also to cater to the competitive side of Halo. They want it to be competitive. They want it to be so that's where the balance and the fairness comes in.
Yeah, they're trying to cater to both sides, I think, with everything. And it, all this new stuff that they've added, it's still, at least to me, it still feels like Halo, but it's like Halo Advanced.
It kind of is.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. They've just added things that all the other modern, you know, current shooters are doing, you know, like the clamber, and which is a minor thing. It's a minor little thing. And you don't even really use it that often, to be honest. At least I didn't.
Well,
but it's just,
I did.
It's just nice to have.
I used it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really cool for traversing spaces, especially for, oh, you can't reach that wall. You don't think you can make that jump. And all of a sudden you're up on a ledge getting the gun you need to dominate.
Yeah.
So, but they're not always easy. Using the clamber like that isn't necessarily easy. Sometimes it just involves timing. And some features like the charge, it has its counter. People think, oh, well, that charge might be a little powerful. But it's really not. If you use the thrust, it's a very easy counter. And when you compare those to, say, armor abilities, they're much more underpowered in comparison.
Yeah, I can't even remember how many times I dodged somebody's the Spartan charge or whatever by using my thruster pack and just kind of going to the left or the right, and they totally missed me, and I just meleeed them in the back.
Exactly. So.
I ran out of so many firefights and was actually able to stay alive because of being able to use the thruster pack.
Yeah, exactly.
And there were times when Quinn was sitting behind me and just like watching me try to evade certain places, and it was nuts. The fact that he was watching me pretty much the whole time we were playing was a little nerve-wracking.
One thing I'm going to say, I'm just going to say it now to get it about Sprint, about, you know, just to kind of, not that it's going to quell the uproar about Sprint, because people are going to hate Sprint no matter what. There's going to be those people. But what they did to Sprint to, you know, quote unquote, balance it is make it so that while you're sprinting, you cannot recharge your shields. So you can sprint all you want. You can get shot and it doesn't slow you down or anything like that. But if your shields drop even a sliver, you won't get that sliver of shields back until you stop sprinting.
Right.
So that forces players to stop sprinting and slow down and walk at normal running speed. Or, you know, duck out of cover and stuff like that. So you won't ever have, like, in Halo 4, like, I don't know how many times I've heard, you know, my friends, you know, certain people in particular that are going to listen to this, that he knows I'm talking about him, complain about,
talk about in calling
Halo
out.
4, people sprinting, or like, you get into a firefight and you shoot somebody and they just sprint away and sprint around a corner, whereas in previous Halo games, they'd have to stay there and stick it out. You know what I mean? And right. So you lose out on the kill because he ran away. Like, that's why sprint kind of sucks. Plus, it, you know, shortens maps and stuff like that, but that's a whole different thing. But
even to that point, though, the whole counterbalance with not being able to recharge your shields and using sprint, it was something that I picked up really easily when I was playing the games. I was aware that I couldn't sprint, so I would find a place. And Truth, which is one of the maps, which we'll kind of dive into the maps in a little bit.
The Voice of the Covenant.
Someone's got Master Chief Collection on their mind.
A little bit.
But it's one of the things is just kind of knowing the map, knowing your abilities, and being able to kind of talk to your team, make sure you're covered and all that stuff. So it really enforces teamwork as well. To kind of add on to what you're saying, Drax, with the not being able to recharge shields when you're sprinting, there's also a little stun timer meter that's just above the shield meter. So if you notice on your HUD, you usually have your shield meter, and then for games that have it, you have your health meter, in which case Halo 5 Guardians does have a health meter. But just above that, there's a little sliver. It's about 3 or 4 pixels wide that actually has the what they call the stun timer, and that basically indicates how much longer you have until your shields start recharging. And like you said, if you start sprinting at any point, it goes straight up to where it has to fully recover. If you take shots, it have to fully recover, but it gives you an indicator now of when your shields will actually start recharging, which is a nice little element. It's kind of out of the way, so for people that don't really want to focus on that, it won't be there. But for those that are really heavily engaged in playing, like all of us here, it's something we're going to be noticing and utilizing the heck out of. And if I remember right, using the thruster pack doesn't affect that stun time. I think it's just sprinting and just taking fire.
The thruster has its own little timer.
Yep.
Denoted by like a little triangle that turns red.
Yeah, up in the upper
right. I mean, how it affects the stun time. So you can use the thruster pack and it doesn't reset your stun time.
No, it uses a different power system within the suit to power it. So.
So I guess kind of while we're on the topic, let's kind of go over all the mobility options that we have. They had a little card there talking about all the different things that you can do with mobility, all the new things that are in there with Halo 5 Guardians. We talked about the infinite sprint. And one thing we didn't mention, though, is that there's actually kind of a warm-up period. So you start sprinting and then you get into this full sprint mode, and when that happens, your HUD kind of changes a little bit. It has like little particle effects on the side that means you're at max sprint, and your reticle changes also. And once you hit that full sprint, you can do a different number of things, one of which is something that you kind of that we kind of already mentioned was Spartan charge. And that is whenever you hit the right bumper, which is melee for in the default layout, you'll actually do this charge where you'll, if you're like, I would say 15 meters away, does that sound about right? 10, 15 meters away from someone, you basically charge right up to them, and it basically does the same amount of damage as if you were meleeed right there. It just, you have that extra lunge capability with that Spartan charge. I will say, though, with using it, you have to be careful about someone mowing you down with an AR and then smacking you in the face once you get there.
Yeah.
Because I suffered that a lot. Because when you do the Spartan charge, if you come from behind, it's just like an assassination. But if you're coming from the side or the front, it acts just like a melee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just gives you that. Because there isn't any. I noticed there were so many times where I went to just regular plain old melee at someone, and there is like no melee lunge at all. You literally have to be like on top of a mm-hmm. person to melee them now. And right. I think that's what Spartan Charge is for, is that you can run up on somebody and hit them. But it also causes like kinetic damage when you hit them and sends them flying like a good 10 feet when you hit them. Which I think happened on, what map was it that there was a ledge that I hit somebody and they fell off? Empire was one of the maps.
Could have been Empire. Yeah, because it's the skyscraper one.
I hit somebody and they, you know, I knocked their shields out, but then I'm like, oh, bye. And they just kind of fell off the map. it was really funny. So
that's awesome.
So that's one of them.
Yep. Slide's the next one.
Slide is exactly what you would think it is. Just like, you know,
Destiny.
Slide in and out of cover. Yeah, I mean, if you want to compare it to
Except
Destiny,
not
honestly,
as not ridiculous. As significant a slide as yeah. Destiny.
It's shorter. It's definitely a shorter slide, I feel like. But it's definitely, if you ever play as a Striker Titan in Destiny, that's kind of what all of these new Spartan abilities, other than the Clamber, obviously, kind of feels like. The death from above from a Titan, the sliding that you can do in Destiny, the shoulder charge, you're basically a Titan from Destiny, but kind of like a dumbed down version.
Much simpler, much fairer.
And unlike in Destiny, balanced. Like Duststorm mentioned, if your enemy has any kind of shields at all and you do a shoulder charge and you hit them, they won't die. Whereas in Destiny, if you do a shoulder charge on somebody and they have full shields and health and everything, they die in one hit. But what do we got? What else
is
there?
I don't know if they have partial shields. I think if they still have partial shields, it still acts like a regular melee.
Does it? So there's bleed through.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
I think it just pops
I'm sure there's bleed through.
Okay.
I mean, most of the times I was using it, I was going up against people who had mostly all their shields, if not all their shields, so I don't think I ever really got a time where I actually got a successful kill off the front, but...
I know it's a one-hit kill in Breakout, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that is very true. But yeah, so slide basically gets you this short slide distance. It's probably the same distance as you would get for a Spartan charge, but you kind of crouch down, so you hit right stick on the default, and that's your crouch, which I was looking through the control schemes. There's not one that's most favorable for me with the kind of button layout that I want, and I talked to him about that. It's like, please give us just fully customizable button loadouts. That'd be really nice. But you slide, you're kind of crouched down a little bit, and then you come to like a sudden stop at the very end, so wherever you kind of land up, hopefully you're behind cover at that point and you can kind of reset. It's good for kind of ducking around corners or getting under some cover pieces and whatnot really quickly. So I like that. I didn't get a chance to use it too much because my play style isn't exactly conducive to that kind of play. But for those that are kind of more the get out of dodge and recover type, that's going to be very useful for you once you get in there.
Again, especially in Breakout.
Yes. That's it pretty much for the sprint stuff. The rest of the stuff here is related to the thruster pack. Let's just talk... Well, I guess one other thing is
stabilize.
Kind of neutral. But yeah, so let's talk about the thruster pack. Just kind of at the forefront, though. It is very similar to what the thruster pack was for Halo 4. It's... just like you can in Halo 4, you can hit thruster. You can use your thruster pack at any point. It's omnidirectional. So once you hit B, which is basically all your thruster pack actions, and if you're pointing in a direction, you'll move in that direction. But one of the nice things about it is you stay within first person. So as your thruster pack, you can still shoot people. You can still engage. You don't lose any perspective. You don't go pop out into this third person view like you did in Halo 4. It's all within first person. So they've modified that a little bit, and you don't lose a beat. You really don't. And it helped me get out of dodge so many times when I was playing this week. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like the thruster a lot. One thing that a lot of people I think would be a lot of really concerned with is the smart scope. It functions almost like an aim down the sights function. However, in my opinion, it compares more to a typical zoom with the battle rifle or the DMR or the pistol and other Halos. In that, if you get shot while in this mode, you de-scope. Instead of having binoculars, every gun has essentially the ability to zoom in. Now, when you're zoomed in to smart scope, you do not have reduced mobility, which, you know, unlike COD, you'll slow down a little bit or whatever. Hip fire is just as effective as it used to be. It's not really reduced in any sense. It's just that you might be able to get more range or focus in on an enemy and get a few bursts off. I think aim down the sight, or the smart scope rather, was more effective for me in Breakout as opposed to regular Slayer. Like the DMR had surprisingly long range zoom, so it wasn't so effective on smaller, tighter quarters. So the hipfire was just as good. I was able to use that, no problem.
Yeah, that's the smart scope thing was actually pretty cool. The way that they've implemented the changes for all the weapons, and the AR is kind of the one that sticks out because the AR doesn't naturally have a scope, but the way that they've integrated it, and there's even a lore, there's a term for it that I'm missing right now, a specific lore reason that it's always been there, that your Spartan HUD can actually link up with the scopes on the weapons.
Oh yeah,
and use them.
Yeah, whenever a Spartan picks up a weapon, the suit itself detects what that weapon is, and it when you go
and
to
it links to it.
Yeah, and it brings up the HUD element that, and like SMG just said, when you use smart scope in the game, it doesn't necessarily bring up, depending on the weapon, if the weapon already has a scope, it's just going to use that.
Right.
If it's a weapon like the AR, it doesn't actually change the way the weapon fires or anything like that. It doesn't increase its range or its accuracy or anything like that. It just helps you as the player. It literally just zooms in the camera is like what it does. And then it adds a different HUD element. Like that's all it does. But surprisingly, that actually helped me a lot, especially with the pistol, actually. The pistol I got yep. a lot of headshots with using that.
Yeah, but the pistol kind of always had that natural scope anyway. So, I mean, again, it's not too much of an issue.
Right. But some of the other things, too, though, you have the silenced SMG, or not the silenced, you have the SMG, for example. Silenced SMG is in Master Chief Collection. But that, with the scope there, you're actually basically aiming down the sights, but you still have your peripheral vision, where if you were to go back to Halo 3 ODST and use the SMG there, you basically have this circle that comes up and everything else is blacked out. Well, they took out that blackout and you can still actually see your surroundings now, which gives you more awareness of what's going on around you. And another thing is, whenever you're scoped in, you don't lose any mobility whatsoever.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
And like SMG
which
said,
I didn't know that was really a thing before. I thought you always had full mobility whenever you were scoped in.
I think you do.
In Halo, you've had full mobility, even with the sniper and everything. You never change movements.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But in games like Call of Duty and Battlefield, when you zoom in and you ADS, it's reduced by about half.
Got it. So that's one of those really cool features that I found pretty interesting as well.
That's going to be one of the more controversial things.
They really...
You think so?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, a lot of people... Again, one person in particular. I love him to death. he's probably cracking up listening to this right now. People like him are going to not really like the whole ADS thing because that's not what Halo is traditionally. Other than a few weapons, Halo has always just been hipfire. Halo has been described as an arcade-style shooter, not a highly, you know, I don't know how you would describe Call of Duty and Battlefield, but it's just not like that with ADS.
Quote unquote tactical?
ADS and Halo, in their eyes, just don't mix. Like, you just don't put those two together, other than specific weapons like the sniper and the VR and stuff like that.
But the thing is, the scope on stuff like the sniper and the VR and the DMR, though, it didn't really feel like it changed, to be honest. Like, it felt like all that was still... It still felt like the way it has before. I didn't really get... the only visual difference, of course, was the AR, because the AR doesn't really have a natural scope. And that one definitely stuck out like a sore thumb. But doing the scope on the SMG and the pistol and the sniper rifle, it felt normal. It didn't really feel like it detrimented to the game and the whole ADS stuff with weapons that have scope. You're not really doing ADS. So really the only one that stands out for, in my opinion... is the AR. And we only saw human weapons there. We didn't even see a shotgun. We didn't even see a rocket launcher or anything. The only weapons I remember seeing were a sniper rifle, pistol, SMG, and DMR-BR.
Yeah, I think that was the only ones that we had. Although he did say, I think we asked him that, didn't we, Steve? There's going to be more weapons in the actual beta.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There are going to be a bunch of different weapons that they're going to test. They're bringing back a lot of different weapons, fan favorites and such. So I don't think we're going to have too many issues with options, weapon-wise.
No, that's just what we got to see, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just what they showed at the press event, that's all.
Right. But as far as just being able to... transition that from where Halo has been in the past with the scoping to now, it's it doesn't really feel different. And for those that won the back, de-scoping is back whenever you get hit.
Yep.
There a lot of people are going to be happy about that.
There is one noticeable change, and it's another mobility thing, a Spartan ability. If you enter Smart Scope while in the air, you'll hover there for a few seconds, maybe 3 or 4 seconds before you fall back down. Kind of like, again, another Destiny reference, if you're the Warlock, the Sunsinger Warlock, you have an ability where you'll float in the air while you're aiming down the sight. It's analogous to that, but it's not too overpowered. It has saved my ass a few times, though, when dodging maybe a charge or some incoming fire. I just hide up a little higher.
It's a good tactic for people that aren't used to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Eventually people are going to get used to playing Halo 5 Guardians. They'll say, you know, a few months after launch, people are going to get used to people doing that. But it's a new thing to Halo, and you're used to when somebody jumps in the air, used to them coming back down. So you can kind of, you know, follow the target. You kind of lead the target. Okay, he jumped in the air. He's going to land over here. Well, when somebody presses and holds the left trigger now, they're going to hover there for a second, and you're going to be like, where'd he go? And then he's going to be shooting at you in the face from above, and you don't see him. So,
yeah, and there is an option in the controls where you can turn off auto-stabilize. So you won't – you'll have to click, I think, a stick. I didn't use it, but I think you click a stick, and you'll auto-stabilize. You'll stabilize, but you'll just normally jump and fall otherwise.
Right. Which I didn't turn that off. I kept the auto-stabilize on because I used it quite a lot.
Yeah, I used it a bit. I used it for mobility. Like, I would hover and spot, and then I would try to, like, use the thrust to gain extra momentum for a jump or something.
Yeah, that's one thing we asked Quinn, too, was that there's going to be a lot of, like, ways you can tweak the way you play the game in your custom settings, including, like, another good example of that would be the clamber. You can make it so either you have to double tap A to climb up on something, or you press and hold it, which doesn't sound like a huge difference, but some people are going to like it one way, some people are going to like it the other. So when you're playing this game, it really feels like it's your Spartan, like you're the way you want to play the game, not like a preset thing. Even though there's preset control schemes, the way that those buttons work is up to you when it comes to certain abilities and stuff. So...
There's not really a configuration that fits my place now.
You just gotta work.
I told Joel that. I'm like, dude, I wish there was a way to fully customize this, because there are certain buttons I would want for certain things, and there's just not a combination in there would work best for me.
It took me probably 2 games. I hate to admit this. The first 2 games we played, I got kind of destroyed because I couldn't figure out which button was grenade. I kept pressing the left trigger.
I was a little confused,
too. Why am I not throwing any grenades right now? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Left bumper? Because there's no abilities anymore?
Yep.
He threw a grenade, and I was like, oh, I got it. I figured it out.
I got a killing spree. First life, I got a killing spree.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't complain.
The thing that kept throwing me off, though, is I'm used to B being melee, and the melee is now on the right bumper, and B is all your thruster pack actions.
Right bumper was... Do you play default?
Yeah.
You do. Right? Isn't right bumper melee in Halo 4? Or am I an idiot right now? I haven't played Halo 4 in forever.
Wow.
I think it... Yeah, because I think B... What is... Was B crouch for me? No, I don't remember.
Well, Leipzig is crouch for me. So.
I had an issue with B as well, because every time I pressed B, I was trying to do something else.
Yeah.
And I ended up thruster packing, and I'm like, no, I didn't want to do that.
I'm like, I didn't want to do that. Exactly. And then whenever I would, I have the habit of hitting the right stick to scope, but the right stick is crouch.
Oh, yes, that's what it was. Yeah, I was trying to crouch.
That was weird. That was weird, too. Maybe B was crouch. I forget. But yeah, so it's still one of those things that's like, there are certain controls in here which I'm not exactly used to at the moment.
Maybe if
there was like a Halo 3 control scheme, like I could at least transition to that and maybe have X as the thruster pack actions instead.
I know that there's a Halo 4 scheme because I saw it when I was scrolling through changing my custom settings. So I know there's a Halo 4 control scheme. I didn't get a good look at it because I was trying to like set my stuff real quick.
Yeah, Halo 4 is... I have a screenshot here. The... Melee and Spartan Charge are your right bumper. Switch Weapons is Y. Crouch is B. Action Reload is X. Jump and Clamber is A. Smart Scope is the right stick. Sprint is the left stick. Throw Grenade is the left bumper. Thruster Pack is the left trigger. And then cycle grenades is your left and right on the D-pad. I mean, that would be the one that probably is the closest for me, but having the thruster pack on the trigger just seems a little... Like, if I could switch thruster pack and throw a grenade on that specific controller setting, then it would be that would be it. That'd probably be the one I would use. Seriously.
Yeah, I think it's...
343, since I know you're listening, please make that happen.
I know that this game, when it first launches, it's going to be like it was Halo 4 for me, where the controls are going to be, like, odd for me, and I'm not going to want to jump into multiplayer right away. I'm going to have to go play the story first. I mean, I would do that anyway, because I'm kind of a Halo lore nut, too. Like, I like the story more than the multiplayer.
Story's my priority. Solo story is my priority every single time.
Absolutely, but I'm glad that I'm going to have that to go to first, other than just straight multiplayer, because I'm going to definitely need to get used to it, because I can definitely see myself jumping right into matchmaking and just getting destroyed because I'm not knowing what buttons to press.
Right.
Unfortunately, with this beta, it's not going to be that way. I'm going to have to go straight into matchmaking and get crapped on pretty bad.
But at least you have a sense of how it plays now. So you actually already have a leg up on people. All of us have a leg up on people.
That's true. That's true. If you see me online and you beat me, then props to you, because I have more knowledge than you do at this point, at least for my first few games.
Right. After the first day or so, just throw all that out the window.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's anybody's game after that.
Still funny. I mean, Drax and I, we both played really well. To the point where whenever we were matched on the same team, they made us split up.
It's very true.
That bad,
like,
huh?
Are you guys on the same team again? We're like, I don't know, Steve, are you blue? Yeah, I'm blue. Ah, you guys gotta move. Dang it. So
right.
There was a couple of times we got matched up against each other though, and we were playing, like I said, we were playing Breakout on Crossfire, and Steve didn't see me coming right away, and he was reloading, and I ran around the corner, and I was running at him, sprinting at him, and he started to fire at me, got my shields all the way down, and I shoulder charged, and I hit him and killed him for the win.
It was really an epic encounter.
And he stands up, he's like,
awesome.
Was that you? And I'm like, it was me.
That was a lot of fun. Let's wrap up the scoping and the UI stuff and the mobility, because I really want to talk about Breakout. Because that game mode is actually pretty fun. So the rest of the stuff that we have, we've already kind of covered most of the stuff for mobility, but we didn't really cover ground pound yet. We did cover a little bit of the clamber, which is, again, you go up to a ledge, you double tap A, so it gives you a little more verticality as well. You have the stabilize, so if you're jumping high from a ledge and you're zoomed in, then you'll slowly kind of descend to the ground. And I actually used that a lot during Breakout and trying to get pot shots across the map. And actually, more times than not, I was able to get long range kills. And there were a few times where I wiped out the entire team all by myself.
Nice.
Doing that. But the other thing that we didn't mention yet, which we actually saw in the trailer, was ground pound. We haven't really talked about that in detail. So what ground pound is, if you're up on a higher elevation and you're looking down, you can hit or you can hold the is it the melee button or the crouch button?
Melee.
Okay, so you hold the melee button and then you get this targeting reticle that comes up and it's on the ground. So you can target an enemy if they're kind of underneath you. And as you let go, your thruster pack basically floors you to the ground, and if you get a direct hit on somebody, it's an instant kill.
Yeah, and it does have a splash damage effect. I want to say, yes. I don't know this for a fact, but I definitely want to say 3 to 5 meters, I want to say.
That's about right from what I heard too, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't kill you. That won't kill you, but it'll at least knock out your shields or, you know, drain your shields a little bit, which is useful for whatever Spartan's doing, the ground pound. You can kind of like clear out a room a little bit. And again, it causes kinetic damage and it does kind of knock you backwards a little bit, just like the shoulder charge does.
But overall, I would say ground pound seemed very situational. I mean, I there's very few times I actually saw it used successfully. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like one of those abilities best when you catch your enemy off guard.
Yeah, well, especially if you're coming from above.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely useful. Definitely. It's just I didn't see it used successfully that much, but who knows? We'll probably see some crazy stuff when the beta comes out.
I did have one awesome ground. I mean, I got multiple ground pounds when we were playing, but the best one that I got was when we were playing on Truth and somebody grabbed the sword and they dropped down to bottom mid and they were running into a base. I was in that said base, and as they were going in the bottom base door, I did a ground pound on top of their head right after they had grabbed sword, and they were not happy at all. So it was pretty cool. But can we talk about that sword really quick? Because
yes, the Prophet's Bane.
Prophet's Bane. Let's do it. The sword that you saw in the little snippet that you saw of Truth, which obviously you guys, I'm pretty sure, figured out by now, is the callback to Midship. It's their version of Midship for Halo 5 Guardians. It's actually really, really accurate, the map itself. Obviously, it's bigger, it's pretty...
It felt very different to me. Very different.
It looks different, and there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more stuff to take in, so it's kind of more complex. But the overall structure, I feel, is almost exactly the same, other than a couple of things that they've added for Clamber. Like a hole in that middle platform above the sword, and all that kind of stuff. But
even that, though, the... I don't know if this was just the people I was playing with, but the map flow for Truth was very different than what I've seen for Midship and Heretic. Very different.
Think so?
Yes.
I mean, what's the traditional map flow? Like, sides? Like
traditional map flow, from what I get, is you have a lot of push-up on the sides, and then you're kind of... you're really only going through the base if you're spawning or trying to get away from somebody or going for an objective. And when I was playing on this, everybody was everywhere. Like, there wasn't any one particular point. And it seemed like most of the stuff that happened was just all around the map. It didn't seem like there were any focal points like I would expect on Midship, really. And it may have just been the people I was playing with. So, I mean, that could be jading my experience a little bit. I mean, I definitely see where the inspiration comes from on Midship, and there's definitely a lot of elements in there. But it's very much more open, it feels, than Midship was traditionally. There's a lot more intermediate elevations around the map. And overall, it just, I don't know. It feels different. It may have just been my experience. When the actual beta comes out and when there's a lot more people playing, it may more resemble Midship than what I experienced. But for me, it just felt different.
There's a lot of ways they can mess with map flow, though, by moving weapons around and you know, spawn points and things like that, messing with the spawn zones and all that stuff. So I think that maybe I did notice that an SMG spawned up on, either side of the light bridge on each side.
You're funny.
I don't know why they would put a medium to close range weapon in the middle of the map, kind of out in the open like that. Seems kind of odd. I think a needler traditionally spawns there, so maybe that's why that was there. But I think maybe a BR spawning there or a DMR would be better, or the carbine, if that carbine is coming back. That's one way.
It could have been. I mean, it could have been that they just don't want to show off those weapons yet.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Oh no.
Too.
Yeah. Absolutely. So our experience with the map obviously isn't indicative of what the final, you know, map is going to feel like. It might be, but it could very well not be either.
Back to the Prophet's Bane.
It is a yellow energy sword, yellowish orange. It's shaped a little bit differently. Just like any other energy sword is, you know, you melee and you lunge with it. But it also gives you increased mobility. So you can run faster. Just general movement speed is faster and sprint. And when you smart scope with it, he actually twists the sword to the left, not like about 90 degrees, and it has increased range, and he actually jabs with it rather than slices. And it just feels so nasty, like so awesome when you get a kill with it doing that. And for some reason, even though, like, even Quinn said that when they said they were going to add the increased mobility thing to the gun, not a gun, the sword,
The weapon.
There you go. Even he said to the guy, you know, the weapon designers or whatever, like, you guys are crazy. Like, what are you thinking? And like, they did it, and it actually works. Like, I don't know, with the added thing of with a sprint, like you mentioned earlier, of, you know, your shields drop while you're sprinting. You have to stop before they can recharge. That makes the person with the sword really, really kind of hang back. They don't really rush around and just destroy everybody. So,
well, I did that a few times, and I managed to get the triple kill. I think.
I mean, I managed to do it. That's because we were playing against people that weren't that highly skilled.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But he called it. He called it a legendary weapon, and we did ask him if there's going to be more weapons like that in the final game, and he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. So I'm assuming there's going to be more guns in Halo 5 Guardians that have specific names to them. So expect that to be a thing.
Yeah. So Truth was the midship like map, and then the other map that we got to play on was Empire. This is the skyscraper one that you guys probably saw in the trailer and from the screenshots. And I didn't get any specific feel, but I could see different elements from other maps kind of play a little piece in this.
Oh yeah. Skyline in particular.
Skyline was one. For some reason I got a little Countdown vibe from Halo Reach.
I could see that.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Not too much.
Where the one sniper spawns on the outside there is where, what was it, the concussion rifle?
Yep, concussion rifle.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, no. I would say that's analogous to the concussion rifle.
Oh, and the sword spawned opposite on the bridge. But, yeah, okay, yeah, I can see
bit,
that.
A little bit, just from that little outside. I mean, that's a very tiny piece of it. But all in all, it's a very kind of close quarters map. There's a few big open areas that allow for the sniper lines, because that was the power weapon on Empire was the sniper rifle. It was kind of a little difficult to use because I'm not used to having the left stick as the zoom for a sniper rifle like that, and moving as much as you do with Halo, it just kind of threw me off. Something like Battlefield, where you're kind of more stationary when you're sniping, is a little bit easier, but with Halo it just kind of threw me off a bit.
Yep. There, if you don't play a lot of Call of Duty, it feels really weird. But I have played a lot of Call of Duty, so even though it was weird at first, I picked up on it pretty quick. So you do zoom in and out with the smart scoping, by the way, really fast. It's not like bringing a sniper rifle up in something like Battlefield, where it kind of takes a second, like the animation of bringing up the scope. It kind of like slowly brings it up or whatever, even in Call of Duty. In this, it's like literally you smart scope and it's like there. It's like
just like regular Halo.
In and out, yeah, like real fast.
Yeah,
so,
like maybe two or three frames and that's about it.
Like, yeah, there was
instant link.
I quickscoped Quinn pretty bad when we were playing at one point. He's like, I don't know who just did that, but that was a really nice shot.
Whatever, and I was like, I remember that. I think I was standing right next to him when that happened. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
That's funny. That's awesome. But Empire is one of those maps that's going to be very good for the Slayer 4v4. I have a feeling it would actually be a pretty good objective map, too. If that's one of those maps that are coming.
I had a lot of fun traversing that map with just jumping around, regular jumping around.
Yeah.
There's just kind of like boxes and walls. You can kind of jump onto ledges and stuff, and you don't really even need to touch the floor if you do it right.
In all honesty, that was my most fun map playing the whole time. Because I picked up the map really quickly. I figured out where the power weapons were. I could place grenades in really good places, and being able to use that thruster pack on that map, I got out of so many battles I should have died. I really did.
Oh, yeah, you can like, you know, just duck around a corner real quick. You know, somebody shooting at you can be like, nope, I'm gonna go left now. Bye. It's like,
yep.
See you later.
Yep.
Thing about the power weapons too, though. One feature we want to talk about real quick, even though I mean I'm gonna call it minor because when they say it in game, it's kind of like half the volume of your actual teammates' voice chat as it would be. But the Spartans in Halo 5 Guardians now, while you're playing multiplayer, the Spartan player models themselves yell callouts to you. So if you go into a game of matchmaking and nobody on your team has any mics, or they do and they're just not talking to you, or they're not communicating the way they should be, the game will still communicate for you. So if I'm running along and I don't want to talk to you and I'm getting shot at, my Spartan's going to yell out, hey, fire coming from, you know, top mid or whatever. You know what I mean? My Spartan actually literally yells it out in game, and you hear it in your headset, or you hear it through your TV.
You'll hear things like reloading, or
right,
and yeah, or
or stop nade spamming.
Yeah, they'll call
I got
out
that a few times
too. They'll be like, you know, sniper rifle up in 30, heavy weapons up in 10, and like, and there's actually an element of your HUD that like it shows you on the map like where the heavy weapon is going to spawn, so it forces players to go there. And you got to remember though, you're not the only one hearing that. The enemy team hears it too. So whether the enemy team has mics or not, they're technically still communicating with each other. no matter what. So you have to stay on top of your game at all, you know, at all times.
So I actually asked him about the whole voice in game thing, and while I like it from the perspective that if you're going in with, like, on your own and going in for first time, if you're playing Halo or whatnot, they're really helpful for you. But talking with them, it sounds like those are present whether or not you are talking in your microphone. And I voiced the opinion of maybe that would be something to turn off if you do have a team that is like pros that are constantly talking. And they actually thought that was a interesting idea. So that might be one for the brainstorm when they take back. But it is something that's very useful if you're a little more casual. It kind of, it just gives you those extra cues. It's like, hey, this is kind of what you need to focus on. Here's some little helpful tips as you're going through and you're playing. And it does add value, but it can also really detract for people that are really into Halo and really know what they're doing. So I'm hoping that's something that they kind of consider as a toggle option, whereas like helpful stuff in game and that kind of thing.
The option should be not that you turn off your Spartan saying anything. You should be able to turn off the ability to hear callouts from other Spartans. That's what it should be. So that way, I mean, your guy still is, like, if you get matched up with somebody and he does want to hear those callouts, but you don't want to hear them, your guy will still yell them out, but you won't hear your guy yelling it or
right.
So and so. It just won't be a feature for you, which is the way it should be.
I think so. Yeah. Another thing that I kind of mentioned to them too, because I know it wasn't a huge issue, but it was something that I know quite a few people have voiced. But there was the music in the game as well. And one of the things that they talked about was actually adding more kind of audio elements into the game. And I'm not sure how people are going to react to that. I know
like audio cues, like within game, like as the game progresses, when stuff happens? Is that what you
mean? So, you know, like when you die, it has that little musical interlude as you're viewing the replay of how you died and you're waiting to spawn.
Okay, yeah.
Just like little extra audio assets like that, where I know some people weren't as thrilled to have those in like Halo 4, like the last minute of the game, having that extra music in there. And they're actually, from talking with them, they're looking to add a little more of that. So not exactly sure how people are going to react to having that extra stuff in there.
I think that should be, again, something that they should consider adding to your options, you know, like multiplayer music on or off or whatever, something you can turn on and off
right.
in game. Oh, that's another thing too. Speaking of pre and post game, when you're entering a match now, the screen shows, you know, like a preview of the map, like you're used to, like an overview camera view of the map. And then it shows the game type, the map, what you need to win that game type. And then
time
after
limit.
That, the time limit. Yep. And then it shows your entire team of Spartans, like all lined up, like holding their guns up or whatever, like they're ready to, you know, like duke it out, and you get to kind of like have your glory pose right before the match starts, and then the match will start and you'll spawn in or whatever. And then post game, when you win, even the losing team sees that you see the winning team on the screen. You see their Spartans; they're all like high fiving each other and like you know
tapping each other
and stuff,
talking you.
Yeah, they're like, you know, kind of like talking smack, like, yeah, we just beat you, like, kind of, it's really cool. So, because they described the way that the match, like, the lore behind the multiplayer in Halo 5 Guardians now is kind of like what it was with Halo 4.
Still,
it takes place on the Infinity still, it still takes place in the War Game Simulator, but it's now become, on the Infinity, it's become a spectator sport for the members of the Infinity to come watch the Spartan teams duke it out. And, you know, see who's the best of the best, but it's also a way for the Spartans to train. So it's really cool how they've worked that in. It reminds me, it literally is the, what do they call that in Star Trek? The holodeck is like literally what it is now. I mean, that is what it is. So
pretty much. And before I expand on a key word you just said there, the view that you get also shows the power weapon on the map. They did kind of mention that when they were going through their demo, is during that initial flythrough, they're showing you where the power weapon is for that map.
Oh, really? He didn't mention that to us. Okay.
They mentioned that specifically, where it is kind of giving you it gives you that quick flyover of the map, but then whenever you see the game type, the game label, the time to win, your objective, and all that stuff, it's focusing on that power weapon that you want to control for that map.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. You know what? That's for the players, but players that have played that map and that game type a million times don't need that information, so it's also a feature that's going to help people that are watching them play that match.
Right.
So anytime someone is streaming or otherwise...
Or spectating.
Yes.
As a word you just used in the previous sentence, but...
Spectator mode is a thing in Halo 5 Guardians.
Yes! Finally! The day has come! Rejoice, Halo players!
Full details on that, I will tell you right now, it's pretty awesome. You can join your friends' games, whether they have a full game or not, and watch them play the entire match, third or first person. And then to add on top of that, if you join your friend's game and watch him play, and you join it mid-game, you can actually rewind and go all the way back to the beginning of the match and watch what he did up till that point. And then, just like a DVR, you can skip back to live time and like keep, and then watch the rest of the match. So if he tells you, like, dude, I'm playing this match right now. I just had like this awesome triple kill. You gotta go. You gotta come in and like see what I just did. You can literally just hop right in, watch what he did, and then continue watching and play the rest of the match.
And watch your friend see how bad he is and make fun of him.
That will be a feature in the beta. So,
yes. And one thing that he mentioned to me specifically is it's a basic spectator mode, which means that they actually have a lot more plans for spectator mode, and I'm envisioning like the whole tournament build out, maybe somewhat similar to how they have with Call of Duty, where you can jump between players. There'll probably be specific camera points that you can set up and scroll through. Mm-hmm. It did sound like with the basic spectator mode that you would actually be able to jump through other players playing as well. I don't know if there's going to be any control over like chat, or if you come in and you're joining your friend, maybe you can only spectate to the people on their team.
I would think that would be a thing, because otherwise people could jump in to their friend's game and then jump over to the enemy team and hear what they're talking about and see what they're doing and then jump back to their friend and tell them, you know what I mean? Because with the Xbox Live Party system, you could easily cheese that. You could like help your friends win and cheat.
I'm going to ask him a little bit more when I'm in LA. And of course, we're recording this before. We're actually recording this a few days before the launch of the Master Chief Collection. But as far as what other details there is, if I have them, then it's going to be in a separate audio segment. And of course, we'll talk about that. But it is something that I know a lot of Halo fans have been asking for. I've been asking for it for a long time, ever since I've been following MLG, AGL, the competitive side of Halo with any kind of regard. And it's nice to see that they're actually have the power now and have the capability of having a spectator mode for Halo. This is one of the greatest things. And I can just see a bunch of different communities using it. The competitive community is going to use it. Griffball is going to use it. Their speedrunners are probably going to be able to use it if spectator mode is going to be able to be used for campaign. I mean, this is one of those features that people are going to go crazy over from all aspects. Maybe help balance off that uncrazy side of not liking the thruster pack and the infinite sprint.
You know what's interesting though too, technically, if as long as they don't have their privacy settings set to, you know, private or whatever on Xbox One, anybody can follow like the pros and stuff on Xbox One when they're playing matchmaking, and like they might not be able to talk to them, but they can jump into a game and watch them play like right on their Xbox, like live time, like right there, which is going to be really cool.
I wonder what that would do with live streams though. That would be interesting, because with live streams, you're basically watching from their perspective the whole time. And I know there's a lot of people that rely on live stream viewers and subscriptions to kind of help.
I wonder if
help their channel grow.
If maybe you can only have one person spectating you at a time. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I would assume there's some kind of limit just so it doesn't impede the progress and the stability of the game.
Yeah.
But
like a limit of spectators in one game or something.
Right.
Hmm.
Like I know for some games like TF2, for example, you have a certain number of slots that are player slots, and then there are a certain number of slots that are spectator slots. And once those spectator slots fill up, then there are no more spectators allowed in the game.
Interesting. Okay, maybe that's the way it'll work then.
I'm guessing so. But if you're looking at tournaments and stuff like that, then you'll have casters that'll be able to tune into a spectator mode, and that'll be I mean, that's going to be really great for casters just straight off the back, because I'm assuming with the advanced spectator mode, whatever that's going to be, there's probably going to be some integrated controls where you have a lot more control over certain view elements and aspects of the stream that you can highly control. So I'm guessing that's where that's going to go. We're kind of running up close to time, and there's a couple more things I want to get to, especially the new game mode, Breakout. Now, this was a lot of fun. This was... I spent probably a full hour 15 minutes playing this. People did not want to stop playing this. And this is a new game mode. The maps for Breakout are specifically designed for this game mode. And the one map that they had that we were able to play on was Crossfire. It's very reminiscent of a paintball-style arena.
It reminded me...
In the Tron universe.
Yeah, it reminded
me... In the Tron universe, yeah.
Yeah, the map reminds me of Tron. It reminds me of paintball, but it also reminds me of what the map's name is. I don't know if anybody that's listening to this has ever played Crossfire when you were a kid. The little board game where you shoot little metallic marbles back and forth at each other and try and get the little purple spinny thing into your enemy's goal. It was like a grid like that. I think that's the reason why they called it Crossfire. I'm hoping that's what it is anyway, because that was a big staple of my childhood. But the reason why it feels like a paintball field and the reason why the settings and the game type are the way that they are is because Kevin Franklin, who is what is his title? He's the lead multiplayer designer, I think.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
He is a huge paintball fan. And this whole game type and this, at least Crossfire itself is what we were told, is his brainchild. It's like he wanted to put this in here. They actually tried to put it into Halo 4. They wanted to put it in, but they just ran out of time. So they finally realized it in Halo 5 Guardians, and I will tell you right now, it is
so insane. Much fun.
Oh my god, it's intense. It is so
much crazy stuff happening.
Super crazy. My arms were shaking after standing up because I was just so tense, so intense. I was so full of adrenaline. It's just like, this is so much fun.
Especially when it gets down to the 1v1, man. Oh my god.
The 1v4.
Oh, that was... I actually pulled out from a 2 versus 1 lead, or down, and I pulled out the win for that round.
Nice.
It was so much fun. Just having the pressure on you is just so nerve-wracking. Gets your adrenaline going.
It's kind of reminiscent of the you have one life game types from like Call of Duty and stuff, like Search and Destroy and stuff like that. But the way the game type works is that you have limited shields to the point where one melee won't kill you, but you have basically, I'm assuming maybe it's like 60% shields or something like that. I don't know what the exact number is.
Less.
It feels like 70-ish, 60-ish, yeah, maybe 67%, something like that. Yeah.
SMG starts.
SMG pistol.
Dang it. I'm just sort of saying submachine gun. Okay. Jeez. Anyway,
good.
And then you have all your, obviously all your Spartan abilities and stuff like that. It's one life. If your entire team gets eliminated, you lose. Yep. Multiple rounds. First team to 5 wins the match. So it gets really, really crazy. Especially if it's going like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We had one game where you got, I think it was blue won like 4 games in a row and then red won the 5th one and blue was like, oh, come on, we wanted the shutout or whatever. And even, I think that was actually the game where I shoulder charged you, Steve. I think that's what that game was. But a shoulder charge, like I said earlier, kills in one hit, no matter
so
where you
So how about that entrance into the game?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It's so it's, cool. Whoosh. So you get launched, you run up to this treadmill type thing, and if you guys remember the teaser trailer for it, you see Spartans basically jumping into arena. Well, this is what that is. You're running up to this treadmill type thing and it launches you into the arena, and you can actually see the other team falling in with you, and you come out sprinting.
Yep. And it's all in third person, and then as you land it goes into first person. So when you're launching from the, you know, from the platform or whatever, you can't shoot, you can see the other team, but you can't shoot them or anything yet because you haven't landed yet.
Right.
It's insanely fun. The map itself is really odd looking. Like, it's cool, like we said earlier, but they're calling the building that has the pillars and stuff, the really closed off building, they're calling that
the house. Yep.
Yeah, and then on the opposite side they call that the stage.
Yep.
And then the middle, obviously, they're calling the pit.
Yep.
In between
And then you have the courtyard on either side.
Yep, and you have an AR. An AR spawns near stage, and then a battle rifle spawns at the tower right before the house on each side. And then plasma grenades spawn inside the house, and I think something else spawns in the middle, but I can't remember what. Maybe it's more frags.
On the stage, there are 6 frags.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
6? Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you actually look at the floor, there's 6 frag grenades just sitting there. So you can just lob grenades there for a few seconds, yeah. But you have to be careful because you'll get nick grenades back at you.
Yeah, when you're on stage, you're kind of exposed, especially if you get on that platform.
I got some insanely lucky sticks when I was playing on that map.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be ducking behind cover, and I would somehow get this nice little sliver of, and it wasn't just on Crossfire. I got some really nice sticks on Empire, but I guess I just nailed the few stickies. I wonder if I'm going to be good with stickies in this game, because I got some sticks that I didn't even think I would get. And I got the little hit marker that something happened, and then 2 seconds later it just says stuck.
I've just never been good with stickies, man. Like, I can time frag grenades like you wouldn't believe, like, you know, around corners and stuff like that, and I can ricochet frag grenade anywhere. But a sticky grenade, it's every time I've gotten a stick, it's always been luck. Except for that one stick I got in Destiny the other day. But other than that,
I'm great at sticking. I'm like notorious at it.
Oh, man, I try, I aim, but for some reason I can just never get the timing of that grenade down right. It just never.
Never play against Beowulf. He is a master sticker.
Oh, jeez. Nick is the same way. Trust me, that's like Mick's thing. Whenever we play any game that has any type of sticky grenade in it, he always manages to like stick me across the map from some crazy angle that I never thought.
Yeah, stickies are my go-to grenade.
First time I played Coagulation with Mick, he was in the middle of the map. I was at my base, like running behind the base, going to like grab something or something like that, minding my own business. And next thing I know, there's a blue spider on my face.
Yep.
And I just explode. I'm like, what the heck just killed me? He's like, oh my God, no way. So, oh God, it's just nice. It's the worst.
I did have an amazing grenade kill on Breakout where I saw he was going up on this area where a bunch of grenades spawn. And I saw him, I'm like, uh-oh, I have one grenade. I got a few pot shots on him. I just lobbed it over there right in the box, and he just blew up. Hail Mary, and I was really happy. And then Quinn's like, oh, Hail Mary.
I did notice, too, that the medals in this game, the announcer is there, but maybe it was just the headset I was using or something like that, but it's not really that in your face anymore, like when you get a medal or something in the game, in Halo 5.
Yeah, definitely not.
I didn't notice, that's right, I didn't really notice them either.
And I did notice that they got the shield depletion meter, like, you know, like when your shield's depleted, and the noise it makes when it beeps is different now.
It's very different.
It's still a beep, but it's not the classic Halo beep that we're used to.
No,
I think even
it's
the
not. The
shield recharge noise is different too.
Even the respawn timer, the countdown is different.
Like, why would you change that?
I don't know why they would change that.
It's a minor thing, and I'll get over it. But like. Come
but on. It's nostalgia. It's like, it's one of those iconic noises that whenever you hear it, you think, oh, instantly, that's Halo.
Halo.
And they're changing it. It's. I didn't really give them that feedback yet, but it was one of those things that I had in the back of my mind. It's like, this is just different. Like, I know there are certain things in development that you want to keep things new, you want to keep things fresh, but there are just certain staples where I would think you just want to kind of keep those in there. And the beeping was just, it was... Like you said, it was different.
A newer iteration of Mjolnir, Gen 2.
Gen 2, yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments where I was just like, I didn't even know my shields were down because I didn't understand the beeping.
You know what would be cool is because one of the armor unlocks is the Gen 1, is that if you use the Gen 1 armor, maybe you had the Gen 1 sounds.
Ooh, I would love that. That would actually be really cool, I think.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, but I don't think that they would do that because
their
explanation for it would be that it on the outside the armor looks old, but the firmware itself on the inside is all upgraded. Just like Naomi's armor, I think, in the lore. She has what, Mark 5B armor that she wears or something like that?
No, Naomi's got Mark 7. She doesn't have the standard Mjolnir Gen 2. She's got a Mark 7 iteration.
Oh, does she? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just remember the ODSTs in the book talking about how, like, you know, they're not like she wears the older style armor, but it might be upgraded on the inside. They just don't know or something like that. But that was, I think, in the I think that was in Glasslands. they said that? I don't remember.
That trilogy.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Breakout is super fun. Just be careful. You are severely weakened compared... Well, not severely, but you are weakened a lot compared to normal Halo play. If you get a nade that's right around you, chances are you're going to be dead. And there are a lot of times when I was playing that we would have a first kind of few initial grenades and instantly someone would just die.
Oh, yeah.
Because the running sure. routes are so predictable. I went to the BR tower almost every single time.
I felt like I should have done that too, because, I mean, I'm not Same. Trying to gloat, but I felt like I was, you know, one of the best people on my team mm-hmm. with a battle rifle, probably. But, you know, sometimes I would do, you know, because I want to give everybody else a chance to, you know, experience it, because well, right. it wasn't where we were or whatever. But a good tactic that I kept doing was rushing an AR spawn, swapping my SMG for my AR, and then using my pistol for long range. And then when I got up close using the assault rifle, because the assault rifle does more damage per shot than the SMG does, which, you know, obviously helps a lot in that type of situation.
Yeah.
Breakout, so.
Yeah.
I went to the BR tower as well. I played a support role, though, with it more. Like, I took a lot of shots on people, took their shields out, and then others killed them, and I got the assists. So in one game, I might get, like, 3 assists out of the 4 people.
So you use it like a suppressive fire kind of weapon. That's
exactly, yeah. That's
a good tactic, yeah. So you have to play, like, the one thing that they said to us before we even started playing Breakout was the big word was conservative. Like, you have to
yes.
be conservative. Like, don't... If you rush... and you try to go Mr. Lone Wolf and do your own thing, you are going to get just destroyed.
You're done.
And then right. you're sitting there the whole rest of the match just watching, like, and you don't get to play. So, you know, at the very start of the match, you got to, like, kind of coordinate with your team and make sure you're talking. And so I think it's definitely going to be a very, maybe an iteration of it will be very popular with the esports, you know, whole, what's the word I'm looking for? Scene.
The whole esports scene. The whole competitive community. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is an experience, though, that's being specifically tailored for the competitive community. It's supposed to be basically setting that up and really focusing on making sure it's balanced, making sure the whole fair starts is there. And one of the things, kind of backtracking a little bit, that Quinn said they wanted to do with implementing all the Spartan abilities and being able to do Infinite Sprint is let people that are more casual actually be able to relate to the pros and understand that they're being able to use the same equipment that as they get in the when they're playing. So making that a core part of your Spartan profile and your abilities was something that they were really keen on, so that players that were going in really understood what was going on. They could actually relate and see that, oh, this is they're actually using this to do this certain thing. I can actually learn to do that when I go play. So in the sense, it's taking that everyone starts off with the same thing mentality that we had in Halo 2 and Halo 3, but it's taking some of the stuff that we had in Halo Reach and Halo 4 with the armor abilities and incorporating that as a core function of your armor. And that was just one of those things that it's going to be very interesting to see how the competitive community reacts. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that do not like Sprint at all. I'm personally of the opinion that I think Sprint for Halo is good. I think just about every other first-person shooter out there has Sprint, and it's not that much of an issue. I think the balance that they have for Halo 5 is addressing some things, because I know when I went sprinting to try to get away, there's always someone there near the end that could pick me off unless I actually slowed down, took my time to find a good hiding spot and made an effort to recover versus just trying to sprint and run away. So I think there's definitely a lot of balance there.
Sprint is such a staple of gaming now, especially any first-person shooter, even third-person shooters. You can technically sprint in Gears of War. Like, you know what I mean? It's just such a staple of everything now that going back and playing, not that I'm hating on Halo 2 or Halo 3 at all, God forbid, never. But playing Halo 4 and then going to Halo 2 or 3 is tough, because yeah, I've gotten so used to, not just in Halo 4, but with Battlefield and with Call of Duty and with Titanfall and like everything, being able to sprint and run and not just push a stick forward. Like,
you'll find yourself just clicking the stick and not being able to do it, you know?
Like, I play Halo 3 and I feel heavy. Like, I feel, which is the way a Spartan should feel, honestly, but still, like, I feel slow and like I feel fat. like why can't I sprint forward? Does. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, like with the added, you know, the shield, the whole you have to stop and let your shields recharge thing and all that, that's gonna help a little bit. But I can definitely see a lot of people leaving the Halo scene because of, you know, a lot of these reasons, which I don't blame them at all. You know, people like what they like and they're going to stick to their guns on certain things. But I also think that they're going to, 343 is going to pull in a lot of other players from games like Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff because of the stuff that they're adding, especially Call of Duty players, because Halo has kind of like a legend behind it. And because it was like one of the original, if not the original, like competitive MLG pro game to play back in the day, people that never really got to experience that are going to be like, well, it's kind of like what I'm used to, but it's Halo, so I'm gonna go give it a shot. You know what I mean? I'm gonna try this out and see what it's all about. Maybe I can be good at this. So I think that'll be really interesting to see what happens. Not for nothing. No offense to anybody that's a hardcore Call of Duty fan, but I want to see Call of Duty get the floor mopped with it by Halo. I want Halo to be on the top. So
there you go.
Biased much?
We're on the Halo podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all.
So go figure. And then the thruster pack thing, which was actually pretty well accepted as one of the better armor abilities from Halo 4. So I know for AGL settings, it was one of those three that was able to be kept. So I don't think the competitive community would be too offended by that. I think the things like the Spartan charge and the ground pound are going to be the things that really tip them off, if anything.
Yeah, but I would say just don't knock it until you try it, because it's really hard to talk about it because it doesn't translate the same way it feels.
Yeah. Don't pass judgment until you play the game.
Right, it's definitely one of those scenarios where you have to try it, because I was judging it before I picked it up, for sure. Like, I had, like, some reservations about certain things. Like, oh, how's it going to feel? Is it going to be Halo? I don't know. And it does feel like Halo. It doesn't feel like any other game, really. It just takes certain things.
It feels like 75% Halo with 25% Call of Duty thrown in there with certain things.
I would even reduce that percentage, maybe 15% Call of Duty.
I would say, yeah, I would reduce it, too.
Okay, that's a better number. I was going for ratio, but okay, yours is better than mine. But one thing about ground pound, I'll say real quick, though, you have to be higher than normal jump height to use the ground pound. You can't just be in a firefight on a level playing field with a guy and jump in the air and use a ground pound. You can't do that. You have to be like up on a ledge or something in order to use it. So,
funny thing about that, though, is they said during development they were actually, when they first implemented, you could actually ground pound from the same level, and they took that out.
That's not cool.
I can't imagine what would happen if you. Well, you're only floating for so long. You'd have to basically jump up, instantly get a target, and then do it.
Yeah, technically you can do it, but when you go to do the ground pound, the reticle is red, and he just like goes back to the ground. He doesn't actually do the ground pound. So you can like go up in the air and like aim the reticle and everything, but he won't actually do it because he's not at a high enough height for the thrusters, I guess, to get enough force to make, you know, have it do an impact like that.
It's more of a love tap.
Yeah. Well, no. When you do it, and you have the red reticle, and you land with it, he doesn't like actually do a ground pound. You just kind of drop back down like you would from a normal jump.
One of the other things that I wasn't touched on too much, but I know I asked Quinn about it, was about the ranking that's going to be going on, and they're going to be using CSR competitive skill rank, but it's completely overdone. And in his words, it's going to be better than any other ranking system that we've had in Halo 2, which is a very, or not Halo 2, in Halo, which is a very tall order, even better than Halo 2. We didn't get into too much detail about how CSR is going to really change. That was one of the things that they're really not talking about at this point. I'm sure that we'll get a taste of how it behaves in the multiplayer beta when that comes around, but as far as the intricate details of how CSR works, they're not really talking about that at the moment. But it is supposed to be a big overhaul from what Halo 4 CSR is, and it's going to be kind of a better conglomeration of what other skill ranks systems that we've had for past Halo games.
So you're not going to be able to track any of your stats on Halo Waypoint for the beta. You're going to have to keep track of all that kind of stuff on your service record in game. Obviously it's going to be very limited. You can't, like, you know, see all your different medals and all that kind of stuff. It's just your basic, I think your basic ranks and you know, maybe your total kills and games and obviously your all that kind of stuff. So
lots of stuff that's going to be going on with the CSR that hopefully they'll talk to hopefully they'll talk to during the beta. I'm hoping so, because ranks has been one of those other things that within the Halo community, especially competitive, they wanted that in there, and we're definitely getting a good example of that back in the Master Chief Collection, and they're really kind of harnessing the Halo 2 skill ranking system. So the fact that they're saying it's going to be a lot better than any ranking system that we have before, it makes me really curious as to what they mean. I would want to guess that it's going to be maybe a similar skill ranking system where you actually gain and lose experience based on how you play. But I'm guessing the big difference is going to be just the algorithms that they use to calculate ranks.
Yeah, probably. Not that I'm doubting 343 at all or anything like that, but that statement that it's going to be better than any other ranking system they've had could just be their opinion. They might just be really proud of what they're doing and really confident in it, but the community will let them know if it's better or not. You know what I mean? So,
and to your point, though, this is one of the reasons why they're having this beta so early, is because they want as much community feedback, and they have it out for 3 weeks. It's going to be from December 29th through January 18th. You have 3 weeks to play to your heart's content of the multiplayer beta, and you're going to get new hoppers every few days.
It's a progressive beta. Every now and then they're going to add new game modes and stuff like that, I think is all I said, really. Yeah, because it's just the three maps.
Right, but we are going to get to see some additional weapons in there that we didn't get to see during the whole press showing.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to see, I think, some other armor sets in there as well. But like you said, we're going to get those three maps, and there's going to be different hoppers that they're going to be rotating in the game during the whole beta. So there's going to be a fresh experience for you there whenever you hop on. And they really, really want feedback. And the best place for you to get feedback, I asked Quinn, was the Waypoint forums. I know that's one of those places it's hard to get into, but that's the place that they look forward to seeing the feedback. So if you're really wanting to be a integral part of the future of Halo, then you need to be providing feedback to them daily on your experience, what you like, what you don't like, possible suggestions that you would have maybe to change stuff. And of course, they're going to be able to filter through all that and really kind of hone in on the opinions that are widely held amongst the community. So, and with the beta being out this early, they can make drastic changes later on. So just because you see something in the beta, it doesn't mean it's at all representative of the final product. Just keep that in mind. I cannot stress how important it is to just keep an open mind when the beta comes around. There are so many times when betas hit, and I know for a lot of times on the console, they're really just stress testing servers, but you need to give Halo some wiggle room and this is our chance to have input into the direct development of a game. So take full advantage of it. Don't hate on 343. Don't hate on certain elements of the game. Provide constructive feedback and constructive criticism.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. The best kind of criticism is constructive criticism. Don't just say, I don't like X and Y. Say, I don't like X and Y. Fix it with A and B. Or, you know, try these things instead of this. Don't just say, I don't like something, and then leave it at that. Because then 343 is going to be like, oh, change it how? Like, okay, you don't like it, but what do you want us to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, so exactly. you gotta give them feedback. And if you want the changes to happen, you gotta complain. I mean, that's the way it is. Complain, but complain respectfully and do it a lot. If you really want it to get changed, don't just say it once and be done with it. You know what I mean? Make an uproar about it. You know what I mean? If you're really that passionate about it, I'm passionate about Halo 2. So if I have anything that I want to say that I don't like, I'm going to make sure I speak up about it. I'm going to make suggestions.
And I know there are certain factions of the Halo community. I'm not going to name them. They probably know who they are. But there are certain areas in the Halo community that like to complain a lot and not give just the thought and consideration of actually making constructive feedback instead of just whining about it.
Exactly.
So if you're one of those people, I urge you, please remember, this is a beta. Nothing is representative of the final game. they're giving you a chance to have very high input into the development process of the next generation of Halo multiplayer. And they want feedback. They really do. So please give it to them. Please give them a chance and just enjoy the beta as much as you can. I know there's some stuff that we talked about, which is going to be controversial, like the thruster pack, all the Spartan abilities, being able to ground pound, Spartan charge, and the infinite sprint, and some stuff with the ADS. But please just go into the beta with an open mind. And whenever you get it, enjoy it. And if you have something that you want to critique and criticize, then go give 343 feedback, because that's what they're looking for.
Without a doubt. I will say this. The game is just flat out gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, like, it's pretty.
It is just straight up 343 beautiful.
Definitely knows how to make a pretty game. I will give them credit.
Yeah, I personally already thanked Vic DeLeon, who worked on Truth already, and told him how beautiful I thought it was. I mean, I literally had
it's
to stop.
It's a gorgeous map. I love the way it looks.
I stopped and looked out the windows.
Oh,
I stopped
me too. I was about to talk about that.
I went and looked at the Halo. That was so cool just to see that outside.
So
I'm like,
cool.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yep. And I think it's the original Halo. It's like supposed to be literally, because if you look out the gas giant, I can't remember what the name of the gas giant is. What the name of the planet is in the original Halo.
Basis? I think it's Basis.
Something like that,
The moon might be Basis.
I can't remember, but yeah.
Threshold. The planet is Threshold.
And there's a little hologram of the Prophet of Truth on the map Truth, that if when you walk up to it, he speaks. He speaks I don't know how to say the Prophet's species.
Sangili, probably?
How do you say the Prophet's species name?
Shan Shayum.
Yeah, whatever. But he's speaking in that, so there's no like translation or anything like that. So it's really cool to like hear the old, you know, the Covenant language again or whatever. Like
I thought Sangili was kind of like the language of, you know, the time.
Is it
the like
universal?
No, Sangili is the elites.
Yeah, I know it's the elites, but it's kind of like the common tongue. Kind of like English is one of those like language.
Oh,
what do they call
okay.
it? Like
maybe.
Like business languages or something. I forgot. What's the term? What's the word? That's bothering me. Well, look it up.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful map. I didn't really stop and look at Empire too much. Empire, I did try to look for the Lethbridge Industrial monitors that we saw in the previews of that map, but those monitors were turned off for some reason in the game. And there was no Lethbridge logo. I don't know if they decided maybe that was too much of a distractional element in the game. It was distracting people because they were too bright or something. I don't know. But I didn't see them. Maybe it'll be in the final game. Who knows? But I at least have the wallpaper that I made. So I replicated the logo. So and then obviously there's not really much to look at on Crossfire. It's kind of just a grid with orange stuff and blue stuff.
There are footprints, though.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Whenever
when you walk,
touches,
you'll see footprints.
Yeah, whenever anything touches the ground, it makes kind of like a like the floor lights up or whatever. Whenever like weapons, grenades,
like when your shield recharge, you can kind of see like a reflection. It's really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a really pretty map. Despite not being much to look at, that map is actually kind of pretty. So
it's kind of in space too, like an asteroid belt or something, just floating like there,
an orbiting platform or something. Yeah. But Truth is a really, really pretty map. There's a whole space map hologram like above Sword Spawn. Like if you look up, it's like the ceiling is just all one big huge hologram of like the galaxy or whatever. So that's really pretty.
It's simply gorgeous to say the least. I think that's pretty much it. I don't think there's too much else that we didn't cover. Although the launch screen was really interesting. Just the control center and being around the planet. I'm still trying to like figure it out in my head.
You didn't realize that? Like the background,
it flickers. The background, it's really cool. I think
you mean the planet
like
outside the window?
Deck.
Yeah, it's not a window.
It's
literally
kind of like an interior deck. It could be either transparent metal.
Oh really?
Or like you know how the engineers and I think
I didn't notice. I didn't notice
the,
it flickering.
Glasslands, Thursday War. Moral Dictata books is kind of like a transparent metal, but also in like Covenant Bridges, they are in the interior of a ship. And they use cameras on the external portions of the ship to give a full wide range view of the outside environment. It's really cool.
Okay.
Because I saw it like flickering up. If you watch the main menu, like up in the right hand corner, it'll like flicker across the screen, like that it's a hologram or whatever, or a projection. Okay. Yeah, it's really cool. I asked Quinn about that, and he's like, "Yep."
I didn't quite catch that. Got it. But I'm just wondering from like a story perspective, how that kind of fits in, because you have doctors and lab coats, and then you have Spartans there all intermingled. So just, I haven't been able to come up with anything concrete, but it does make me wonder, how is this title menu really fitting in with the rest of the game when it comes out, you know?
Well, let's see. I mean, scientists need to work on the Mjolnir gear, right? But also with the advent of Forerunner technology that's being rapidly taken up by the humans, scientists would be indispensable, especially if, because there are probably Huragok actively repairing and working on the ship since the humans have taken some of those. The scientists might want to analyze what they're doing to the ship because they kind of just do what they want sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got UNSC officers walking around, mingling with the scientists. And then you have a couple of Spartans standing around too. And like I said, it's the war game simulator that they're in. They're not in it in that scene, but like those guys, like, that's where they are. They're like in that area of the ship.
Right.
So I think the officers are coordinating what activities the Spartans are doing. The Spartans there are reviewing their stats or, you know, prepping to go into a match or whatever. And then the Oni guys are there to assist the Spartans with their armor and things like that. That's my take on it.
Scientists are tech support.
Yes.
Tech support.
Yeah, because in Halo 4, they're the ones that take the armor off of the chief and put it on the guys in Spartans. So
that's true.
I'm assuming that's what it is.
I didn't notice the flicker of the screen on there, so that's interesting.
Yep.
It's very subtle.
Yeah, I'm assuming, like Steve said, it's an interior bridge. Like not necessarily a bridge, but like it's an interior space, so there's no actual windows.
Okay.
It's like protected, yeah. But they still get a view of the outside, so they don't feel so, you know,
but still, what is that view of? Some mysterious Forerunner planet, or...
It kind of looked like maybe Earth, but it could be anything.
Maybe the St. Helios, or...
St. Helios would be reddish color.
Actually. Yeah, I think St. Helios has what? Three
that's
suns?
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it's some water-based planet.
I don't know. It was an interesting title screen to have.
The little hologram that, because he didn't actually go through the menu like we were talking about, Steve, like the different options on the main menu. But like at least the hologram that the Spartans are standing around looking at in the middle of the screen there is actually of Crossfire, like the map Crossfire, the hologram that spins in the middle there. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yep.
That,
so, that, yeah.
One last thing I want to mention real quick, too. Apparently, from what the customization options are in the game, you get to pick a helmet now, and then you get to pick an armor set. So you no longer get to pick your legs, your shoulder pieces, and then your chest piece separately. It looks like
at least in the beta.
Yeah, at least in the beta, it's just your chest and your head, and that's it.
Well, I'm wondering if that's going to be the same for the final, too, because you know those four unlocks that transition over to the final game.
Yeah, but that's true. You unlock that set, though, so it could be you unlock that set in the final game, but then you can still...
And the sets are individual pieces. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
But at least in the beta, in the build that we were shown, it was just helmet and armor set, so, which is kind of disappointing, because I always like my Spartan to have different shoulder pieces, but whatever.
See, I'm all Master Chief style, so I went all Mark 6 Gen 1 on my customization.
Oh, did you want? You actually went in and did that? I didn't change anything.
Yeah, I went to go change it.
I moved stations, so yeah.
Did you scroll through the different armor options?
I scrolled through a bunch of them. I remember seeing some pieces, like some names, Centurion, some stuff from Halo 4 variant-wise.
Oh, God, I hope they bring Enforcer back. I want Enforcer so bad. All right, I think I've actually got to get going here soon. So,
yeah, that's a wrap for us, guys. I hope you all enjoy some Halo 5 Guardians beta, which comes out December 29th. It's running for 3 weeks until January 18th. So please go participate. Please give feedback to 343 through the Waypoint forums. You can find me over on PodTackler, which is podtackler.com, and then you can find Drax and SMG over at ReadyUpLive, which is readyuplive.com. And we hope to see you guys online with the Master Chief Collection, and then when it comes out, the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta.
We'll see you guys there.
Catch you later, guys. Get fragging.